A lot of these things are the obvious, but when you think about an office building, we had to think about the path of travel to go to where people enter the building. How are they getting around? How can we distance in elevators? How many people are elevators? We were very fortunate to have a what's called destination dispatch elevator system that we could program it to where no more than two people could get on the elevator at any time. If they press the button for their floor, the next person that pressed the button for another floor would automatically prompt another elevator, not the one that the one previously was on. So we had that advantage. We went through and changed a lot of all of our air filters, and did a lot more of air inflow in, but nanoseptic. Am I saying that right, Julie? Nanoseptic
Yes, it is
caps.
nanoseptic technology.
Yes. So all of the touch points,
That we
elevator
put on touch.
buttons, door handles, all of those had nanoseptic pads put on them, which reportedly do not allow bacteria to stay on them. So that was one of the things we did. We consulted, obviously, the CDC website extensively to see what recommendations they had in the county and other things to find anything we could find. What we didn't, what we're still, we still are studying pretty hard is the UV light and ionization of air. We just don't know which of those technologies is the best. I mean, everybody is purporting that they have the best technology and it works, et cetera, but we have a really strong team in Colorado that's working with the University of Colorado studying that hard, but we're not sure we're not positive what the answer is on that one yet.
Yes. So a lot of the signage we did too, John, is just trying to have it in enough places throughout the building with the 6 feet. Just as, now we're getting more used to it, but especially in April and May when people first start to come back to the office, it's kind of just learning the new rules and the new normal. So we kind of erred on as much. We turned our electronic directories off of the directory and just had them with the constant, 6 feet, wear a mask, wash your hands, et cetera.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, all of our office buildings have probably never been as clean as they are today. But we did not stop, even though nobody was in the building, we didn't stop cleaning the spaces. In fact, we did more deep cleaning, obviously. And then, there was a whole another protocol if we had a case. So we have had cases in the building. We've asked our customers to tell us if they had a case and then where they had traveled and what days and times they were there. And then Julie and her team send out a notice to all of our customers of where that was, what happened, and all the facts were surrounding that.
Right. So again, like this slide is one we sent out to our customers to just let us know what we were doing. You heard a lot of the buzzwords were the high touch points. So we actually brought in three extra day porters that all they do is they're in common areas hitting all the touch points with the EPA approved cleaner. So we just wanted a lot of it too is we wanted them to be very visible. As John said, if you get in my elevators, it kind of smells like a hospital now. There's so much disinfectant and cleaning going on that they really like it smells almost industrial.
Yeah, there's a whole nother protocol if there is a case of what we do on the areas of the path of travel that person might have traveled. And then what I'll also mention, what I think is interesting, some of our customers have taken high cleaning of their own spaces beyond what we're doing. And Julie, I think some of them have spent upwards of, for a full floor, $6,000 to $8,000 for a
Yeah.
single cleaning that they go in and so there's a lot going on. Obviously, I think I think that what we're learning is it's more of a airborne versus touch point, but we're still making sure the touch points are taken care of as well.
This is where we're telling them about the nanoseptic self-cleaning that we put into surfaces. Elevator buttons that can't the in the elevators that aren't hands-free. We put in more hand sanitizing stations. We remind people to wear their face masks, which has now become pretty much the norm. You don't see the people like we did at first that didn't want to wear them
Yeah, we really aren't having to ask people to put on a mask like we were back in
in the beginning.
May and June.
So the majority of the questions that we get, especially from our national customers that have more of a dedicated facilities type team is on our HVAC and how we run our HVAC. A lot of them having the concern that when the buildings, you know, I think they thought we actually shut the buildings down and turned the HVAC off, which we didn't do. We ran the HVAC. So we wanted to make sure that we were telling our customers how we were running the HVAC, what the engineering team was doing. We were transparent about when we put new filters on, what kind of filters we were using, the coil cleaning that was being done. So all the questions we were getting kind of from our national, more sophisticated clients, customers, we made sure we sent out to all of our customers. Lots of signage. Can't have enough signage.
Yeah, I think this is a new norm that I think we'll be living with for a long time, is all the signage and warnings and things that practices that you need to take moving through, and what's going on in restrooms and everything else. It's just, I think this will probably go forward.
And this is, John, what you touched on about, we've switched the elevators to be touchless with their access card, so they don't ever have to touch a button, and only one person gets in the elevator at a time.